Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 19th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. We hope you're having a great day, and we are going to have some fun right now. Some of our favorite people to talk to. We have Mike Hittner here from Historic Point Boss. Mike, good to see you.
Yeah, good morning, James, and everybody in Radio Land.
Appreciate the time, as always, sir, and love talking with you. And we have on the phone with us Luke Conkle. Luke, good to have you with us.
Hey, James, good to be with you.
Really appreciate the time, sir. I know how busy you are, and I love talking to you, both of you, but this is one of my favorite things you guys do. We're going to talk about the whodunit, and not only is this right up my alley, but it's up everybody's alley.
Right.
This is one of the most popular events you guys host over there, and that's saying something.
Yeah, yeah, Seth. It's something, Luke, what was it, 11th or 12th year this year?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, yeah. I think.
I don't know if we've hit lucky 13 yet.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's 11th or 12th year. I have to go back through all the other booklets, but we related to it last year, and then I said, well, I was going through all these booklets, and I think I saw, 2010 or 11 or something like that. So, yeah, it's been a nice ride, and we've really enjoyed it, and especially all of Luke's effort to put this together, because that's where all the work is really. We just have the fun on the end, like anybody in a play or
that. Absolutely. I want to get into what the event is, and then specifically the Lumberman's Lament. Great name for a title. It's a great name.
Yeah,
let's get in. Oh, it's a good one, though. Look, it's just I don't know how to talk well. I speak for a living, and I still don't know how to. What I want to get into is what the event is for and what it's about and how it came about, Mike, if you don't mind.
Yeah, we originally had the idea and came up with the idea, and Rhonda worked with us on this for the first year, and she did a nice job. She had done this out east, some Civil War era things that she'd done out in Pennsylvania, and she just didn't want to keep it up. She did a year of it, and then Luke was around and has been around most of the time, in and out over the years, And I know Luke was doing some writing, and we kind of talked about it, and I think he volunteered. That's the problem, Luke, right? Volunteering.
Yeah.
It never ends. But Luke picked it up, and he's strung a beautiful thread through historically. It reads like it's not totally historically correct, but it's like a historic novel sort of thing, where we have some actual characters, and we weave them into a story, and Luke weaves them into the story, I should say, and he's come up with different ideas. We've been kind of throwing around the railroad idea, I think, Luke, what was it, for about 3-4 years now?
Yep.
We just didn't know how to work it in or something. We just didn't know how to work it in, but this year we got the railroad, Manitowoc and Mississippi coming in, bringing a crew and wanting to harvest lumber. So, of course, that's the kind of the background out of it. And, of course, they even have a steward, which is almost unheard of. And as Luke would say, it wasn't heard of in this early of a day in this part of the United States, maybe on the East Coast. But it came about when George Pullman and the Pullman cars and the Pullman porters came about, and that was later than the story takes place in 1857. So Luke put it together with the steward, and the sheriff, of course, is out of town. He's in the town of Remington, so he has to be sent for, and Clive Dustin, the foreman for the lumbering crew, is found dead, shot to death. And day before anybody really meets him, everybody else has communicated with him. Ada Turner, which is the wealthy lady played by Mystique McComber,
Mystique.
And Robert Wakely and Claude Paquette kind of got together to go talk to the Native Americans and everything, make sure that they're harvesting where they should harvest and not harvesting on the Native Americans' land. And so this is kind of the lead up to the story. And so the community is really excited about it, because it can bring more people in the community. Maybe the community will grow, and wherever the railroads grow, usually the people are, more people come with them. So it's kind of exciting. But of course, as we know, in summertime, we always have the problem that something happens at Point Bus, at least for the last 12 or so years, something's happened there.
You got a real Agatha Christie murder she wrote thing going on over there. I didn't want to bring it up, but I mean, it seemed like wherever she went, there was a murder. And yeah. Every time of year, right around this time.
Yeah, it seems like middle, end of July, there's something happens God, there. And then usually, once in a while, it's a theft, but normally, I'd say 8 out of 10 or 11 times, it's a murder. So
we're talking about the story now that is going to be featured in this original whodunit coming up July 29th at the Historic Point Boss, right there in beautiful Nakusa. And when it came to the story, Luke, I want to talk with you a little bit about the creation of this. So I've been writing since I was 12, and one of the greatest things to happen to me as a writer is becoming a copywriter and having to write for other people. Mm-hmm. I learned what it really is to be a writer doing that, I feel like, because it wasn't about me and my ideas and opinions. It's about the client and all that. When it comes to something like this, I get a little bit of a similar feel from it. Did you find it that way as a writer, as a creative, that it's kind of helped you grow as a writer because you have a certain thing that you're trying to pull off here?
Yeah, I mean, definitely so. I think, especially given that we have some recurring characters and some crowd favorites and some, reenactor favorites. People like to come back and play the same sorts of characters. There's certainly you want to weave in a lot of that, some common threads, some Easter eggs for people that come back year to year. You don't need any of those to solve the mystery, but yeah, there's definitely a certain limit that you give yourself, to try to get to that end point, but still incorporate a lot of those features.
I know you do a lot of homework for these to make sure to be historically accurate and to get really into the terminology and little things that, like you said, Easter eggs that really make it more exciting and fun for everybody. Do you find yourself when you're doing this going down rabbit holes and learning even more than you planned on when it comes to it? Because I know that happens to me, and I know, Mike, it happens to you from time to time, too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, this year especially, trying to identify, which year made the most sense to have a railroad company doing this sort of foray into the lumber industry, which is sort of an unusual thing, and to have this this steward along with them, settling on 1857, and then that sort of lent itself to this. There was actually a recession at that time. We're a couple months ahead of when that happened, but we'll take some liberties.
Artistic liberties, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and different things about the railroad came through and about stewards. We've had Morse code on the scene for about just over a decade now, and there's some coded messages and things. So that's sort of in the air. For the history buffs out there, that's in the air leading up to the Civil War, when code breaking became, it really burst onto the scene in terms of historical interest.
As parents and even as teachers and such, we try to find different ways to teach kids without them knowing. Mm-hmm. We find these little ways of, like, they're having fun and they don't realize they're learning a lesson while they're doing it or something like that. Are you doing that to us as adults, Luke? Are you, because in all seriousness, you do kind of sneak in facts and information in here while we're having fun with the whodunit and trying to figure out who the murderer is and all this. We're also learning as we go along, correct?
Yeah, I sure hope so.
Yeah. Now, did you find yourself learning as you went along writing this?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, especially in terms of, Morse code, it features at one point in the background. That Morse code changed a little bit in the first decade. The lumber industry, trying to stay true to, whether or not a railroad would have run through Wood County. And actually, speaking of Wood County, one of the sort of fun facts is, this taking place in 1857, Wood County has only been a county split off from Portage County for just over a year. So that's something, a little historical nugget that might come up for the guests as well.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting, Luke included, at least in the characters, information. They showed a map of the Manitowoc and Mississippi Railroad, and of course that map was probably circa 1857, but doesn't show the division yet of Portage County into Portage and Wood County.
I love looking at old maps. I'm such a nerd about this stuff. Whether it's world maps or old maps, I find it so cool to look at what used to be a country or how things were divided before. Especially with America here, where you look at how the states were divided and all that. It's very interesting.
Yeah, there's books on how states were divided and where they got the lines and how they were drawn and why they were drawn and all that. You know, and all those oddities that kind of lost to history, but was the reason why they are what they are.
I don't do this very often. It's one of the only books I recommend, but How the States Got Their Shape. It's a short book. Mm-hmm. It is so good. It's so interesting. There's so many cool, interesting facts and things that come about there. And with that, one of the things that I learned from reading that book and others, and just growing up where I did in Chicago, our country, it was built on a lot of things, but one of the main things that we were built on is railroads, is being able to be a hub for that. It sounds like, and you guys touched on this a little bit before, this was a theme or a topic, if you will, that you wanted to incorporate into this, into the whodunit.
Correct. We didn't. Go ahead, Luke.
We had talked about it a couple of times, just because rail, you know, was such a hot thing in the middle of the 19th century. So, and, you know, given the time period that we're looking at here, Wisconsin has only been a state for something like 9 years, right? Mm-hmm. So Wisconsin was still essentially the frontier. And so the expansion of rail was really an important thing. And given the lumber industry at Point Bass, part of what we're trying to capture is, you know, this sort of soft competition between the river and the rail and those modes of transportation. So.
Oh, interesting.
And it's kind of interesting, too, because we do have the river right there and the rail sort of thing. And there was always this conjecture that when it came down by the river, it got aged or seasoned better. Mm. And on the rail, it didn't. And there's all this fighting going on. I don't know if there was anything to it or if it was just a fight, you know.
Oh, that's good spin, though. That's good. Interesting. Hmm. How long did this take for you to write, Luke?
Oh boy, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Off and on for the better part of a month. You know, it's the sort of thing that, you know, you start with an outline for the reveal, and then you go kind of back to the beginning and you start with the characters and you try to weave them together and, you know, start pointing towards the reveal, but then, you know, invariably something changes and you have to go back and, you know, rewrite a character or write somebody out and replace them with somebody else. So, it's hard to quantify. You know, you're almost never not working on it when you're working on it, because, you know, something, you'll see, you know, a bird fly a weird way and it'll remind you of something that you want to include, you know.
Yeah. Write that down. Yeah. Yeah.
Luke, do you have any problem with knowing when to end it? I mean, I've known a lot of artists, both writers and painters, and they always say they have a hard time knowing when to stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I definitely do. I think the end point for me with these whodunits is if I think that one more sentence will give it away, that's when I stop.
That's good. Oh, that's good. Oh, I like that, Luke. That's a great question, Mike, too. One of my favorite questions to ask musicians is how to end a song. Mm-hmm. It's always been something that's very interesting to me. I do a little bit of music, but I don't even know where to begin to write a song, let alone how to end it. That's a good, interesting question right there. For the actors, Mike, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do we know how long the actors have to rehearse to get this down?
Well, there's no rehearsal other than their own.
Right.
Because we don't get together till an hour before it begins, and then that's just to kind of, you know, sift out a few questions or maybe where the body was and why nobody maybe heard a gunshot or whatever. And it's just a few of those last-minute questions. And so we really, you know, is kind of ad-libbing a script, a small script. And a number of us have done it for a number of years. It's not so much of an issue for those that haven't, or the first-time ones. It might be a little harder because if they haven't ad-libbed before, it takes a certain talent, and you got to know. And Luke always says you can tell everything you know and give it out, but you can't lie.
You
can't mislead somebody. You can lead somebody, but you can't mislead them, sort of thing. So we always kind of within our own group kind of talk about who should we point, you know, fingers at, you know, and, you know, because reading the script, there's probably, I don't know, Luke, in my mind, probably four or five people that are prime suspects, but it could be either any one of them, or it could be a combination of them. Who knows? But yeah, to my reading, it looks like four or five. So a number of us will point to this one. Somebody will point to that one. And not that we know, because the beauty of it is we don't even know who did it. So, you know, that's a real nice, because a lot of times the characters want to come up to us and say on the side, hey, who did it?
Yeah.
And we really can't tell them because we don't know. I mean, we have a suspicion. Mm-hmm. It may be true or not true. Yeah. And of course, this year is a little different because we got a lot of ciphers and codes and things mm-hmm. like that out there that we didn't have. And a lot of these will be visible to the public to take a look at and see if they can make anything out of them. But you don't need any of those to solve the mystery. Within the context of the bios we have, you can solve it. But those are added things. And I think Luke was looking at, some people were saying, well, can't we have a few more clues or something? And this was a way for him to give some more clues, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all the clues this year, we're going to have nice signs saying, you know, this is a clue, you know,
that you searched
here and you found it, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, people do, you know, they'll find some, I mean, it's a reenactment site. So, you know, you find historical artifacts, you know, around and you'll say, well, is this a clue? And, you know, so specifically calling it out so that people can, you know, not go down too many rabbit holes other than, you know, the ones that they create in their own imagination.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting too, because Clive Dustin got killed by gunshot, but in a number of the characters have been associated with guns, but we don't know who it is, but you'd be surprised how many of the public want to come there and see their guns. You know, and no, they're tucked away in a trunk or something like that or whatever. We got to say something because they actually want to see the guns. You know, everybody's gun. What did it look like, you know, and this sort of thing? But we got everything from pistols to rifles to a shotgun involved.
I appreciate the feedback on how long it took to write, how long the actors have and all these things, because I as people that view this, I don't know that they always understand that stuff. And look, I teach improv. I know how difficult it can be. And one of the very first lesson in all improv is say yes. Mm-hmm. And whether it's the way Luke writes or the way you actors perform, that is always the case. You guys do such a good job with this year in and year out. And there aren't many things that I have a high echelon for, but acting is the one thing that I feel like I know what I'm talking about with. And you guys do an amazing job every single year with this. It really does deserve to be highlighted, along with attended, and we want people to attend. Mike, let's talk about the details of the event itself. The date and time we'll get to, and prices and stuff. But if I've never been to the whodunit before, what do I need to know walking into it?
Well, when you walk in and you pay your admission, we'll have a booklet for them there that'll give an outline sketch of this Lumberman's Lament. And then it'll also give a little sketch, a little bio for each of the characters to place them, who they are and what. If you've never attended, it'll at least help with that. Mm-hmm. And then they'll have some information of how they should go about it. And we're open from 2 to 5. Now, a lot of people come at 2 because they want to really, you know, we see some of these people 4 or 5 times. It's like we become family after a while. You know, a lot of people come, we used to have longer hours, but we really don't need it. Mm. But a lot of people come 2:30 or 3, because I think you got to give it an hour to go around.
The
booklet also have a ballot on it, and they have a place for notes, so you can scratch notes, because they'll ask questions. And usually they come in groups, like either a family or some gals that enjoy this or whatever, and they'll come around as a group, and they'll sketch notes. And then, well, this... You know, the sheriff said this, but you said this. Well, you know, go talk to him again, because I think he's lying. But whatever. But so you got places for notes. We have ballots. And Luke takes it very seriously, because he takes all those ballots home with him at the end of the day, just to find out who thought what, and may get some clues of what he's given out or what he hasn't given out or what we as characters haven't given out. Because he wants to study that and see how it all played out.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know you did that, Luke. That is awesome, man. That is smart, insightful, and very cool. Huh. Good. Has that helped you with future scripts when you're writing on these? The notes that you're reading there and stuff? Like, I want to avoid this.
It gives you a real good sense of like the thought process of the public, right? Because you know, obviously, when you write it, you have all the information in front of you, mm-hmm. and something that you think is a really obvious clue or thread to go down, it gets totally missed, and then something that you think was a really offhand comment, you know, just for a little historical realism, gets, you know, they take it and they run with it, right? So you kind of learn year to year how to take those. The paths that people go down and turn those into, you know, a little goat path for them to follow the next year.
Yeah, and what Luke will do sometimes is, you know, at 3:30 or so or 3:45, if seems like people are all going the wrong direction, you'll throw a few more hints out there or something just to get them a little more going the right direction or something, or at least off the dead-end path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very Agatha Christie of you, Luke. Very, very, they're very cool. That's very cool. Luke, I actually, we've only got a couple minutes left here. I wanted to let you go because I know you're in the middle of stuff and everything, but I look forward every year to talking to you, man. You do great work. Thank you so much for what you do.
Yeah, thanks, James, for having me.
And you take care. Have a good day.
Yeah, thanks, Luke.
You too.
Again, thank you to Luke Conkle for joining us there. Writer of The Lumberman's Lament, another whodunit with the Historic Point Boss. Mike, with our last couple of minutes here, I wanted to touch on the event details. What time is it? You know, how much it might cost and those sorts of things.
It's Saturday, July 29th, and it's from 2 to 5 in the afternoon on Saturday. And we'll have, you know, some water that people can purchase and something. If it's a hot day, I don't know the forecast of the future looks like a little warmer next week. So we'll have some of that. There's plenty of trees and shelters and benches for people to sit in and come as early as you'd like, but spend a little time. You know, what we really do is cut off sales around 4:15, 4:20, because if you don't have at least an hour to give to it, I mean, we like to take your money, but you're not going to learn anything from
it. Right, right.
But so we kind of break down the admissions desk about 4:15, 4:20, because we want to give people time. And those people that are working at the desk want to come over and see the reveal or maybe even check into a few characters that they have a little question about, sort of thing. So
we've all got a little Columbo in us.
Yes.
We all want to solve these things. Yeah. I think that's a really good note to get there a little early if you can. And give yourself an hour. I think that's for one, you're going to want an hour there. I don't know how you spend 5 seconds at the Historic Point Boss. You want an hour there at least.
Well, and also going from one spot to another, though, where it's all on the west side of the creek, there's a trader's cabin and the three-bay shed and the barn and the house, and there's a few flies for some of the people like the school teacher, which we brought over to the west side because we didn't want people running all the way back to the other side. So in order to go around physically, it takes you some time too. Some of those places take 5 minutes to walk from one spot to the other. So I think allow yourself more time because you can always, we built a new shelter there. You can take a look at that and spend some time on the shelter, nice and shady. And and if there's any kind of breeze, you'll pick it up there. So nice. We welcome you to come down and spend some time, spend the afternoon with us.
Yeah. And I do want to send a big thank you to all the actors, all the volunteers, to Luke, to everybody that makes this happen. It's such a fun, wonderful event that our community looks forward to. And so many people give of their time to do this.
Yeah, we have at least two community theater people. We have one from Stevens Point that has been in Stevens Point Theater. We got an individual that's been on the outside, actually a classmate of Luke's, and she'll be interpreting as a character. And then, of course, about five of us from the Wakely family. So that's kind of interesting.
It really is. And it's going to be such a fun event. Again, the Lumberman's Lament, the original whodunit going on at the Historic Point Boss, takes place next Saturday, July 29th, at 300 Wakely Road in beautiful Nacoosa from 2 to 5. Encourage you to check this out. Certainly, if we're looking, always looking for volunteers and for people to put back into the soil over there at Historic Point Boss if they can. Mike, if they have follow-up questions or want to know more, how to volunteer, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can check our website and go on there and leave a message or whatever, or they can call me at 715-421-2061. and putting under soil. We want to put that literally because it sounds like we're burying somebody here.
I got in the theme of the story. That's what happened there.
See what happens?
Yeah. Mike, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, James, and WFHR.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.